It's really an honor and a joy here at Hoboken Grace that we get to partner and support our local church planners. And so today we get to spend some time with one of them. His name is Paul Manansala. And over a year and a half ago, we supported, or we still support and partner with Paul and his family as they began to launch and plant Crossroad Community Church in Jersey City. So will you welcome Paul Manansala as he comes and shares with us today.
What's up, Hoboken? Well, I mean, if you guys are going to sit, I got to tell you, it is super cool to be back here. It's really nostalgic for me because this church, the staff here, the people, there's a lot of people that have been really instrumental in my story, in my journey, me and my wife's story. And so I still remember the first time I walked through these doors. Actually, I remember when I first came into Hoboken to come to church here, and I felt like it was going to be a good day because we found parking. It's kind of like what's going on here. Like, happy 4th of July to me. I got parking. But coming in and just feeling welcome, we walked through the doors, and it was really in the stage of our life for me and my wife where we had just gotten married, and we were just kind of feeling a transition coming. You know what I mean? We felt like we're about to turn the page to something new. And so we were here, we were looking through moving to a new place and career changes, and everything was kind of different options for us were open. And we came here and we were really chasing for something that felt bigger than what we had seen. That was really why we were kind of in this place. We were looking for something bigger than what we had experienced. And in our faith in God, we were looking for it to be a part of what God was doing as opposed to kind of the little dreams that we had for ourselves. And so we came here and I wasn't looking for like the most amazing music set or anything like that. I just wanted to feel like, all right, God is moving here and it's bigger than what I think. And I remember we came in and it was really that silence time that they've been doing this since they started. And I remember that silence time that Sarah shared where they kind of hit the pause button for you and for me. And it was like just this powerful, powerful moment because it's hard for me. I mean, maybe you can relate. It's hard to just hit pause because we're always on our grind. We're always like trying to make the next step and to do all these things. And you kind of feel that's going to be the same thing when you come to a church service. Like, okay, here's all the things and this is what you should do. But it was like, let's just sit in the presence of God and have a conversation. And I remember my wife and I were like, that's what we need. And also on that day was a baptism Sunday. It just so happened, right? And so they had baptism. They had this whole thing come up. There was a whole group of friends that came up, and they were the person that was getting baptized was introducing all these people that had been instrumental in her journey and her life. And when they celebrated that baptism, man, they celebrated that baptism. It was this beautiful like eruption all over this room. And I grew up in church, and my father was a pastor. I actually grew up in a church that used to meet at the Boys and Girls Club in downtown Jersey City, which is no longer there, which is sad for me because it's like super nostalgic. But I grew up going to church things and baptism services, but I had never seen anything like that. They're celebrating something that was so huge and so important. And so we came here and we started to just kind of jump in, right? That Christmas, after we started coming, my wife had gotten me a camera. Therefore, I am a photographer, right? So I like held this thing I didn't know how to use. I was like, hey, I have a camera. I went to the photo team and they said, yes, we would like you to take pictures of Easter bunnies. It's like, awesome. And so this is a different type of church experience. So we started to go, right? We just kind of took steps that we knew to take, right? I was working in IT at the time. So I like technology and I love music. And so I was like, okay, hey, let me walk over to the production table and see how you do all these things that you do. So we jumped in there and learned a really important skill of how to tape down cables perfectly at right angles. And I just, even honestly carrying things and picking stuff up and putting stuff down and all that stuff, I saw even down to the very small detail how much people cared about what they were doing. Right? Actually, that's still even till today. A month ago, we came here to kind of learn some stuff about how they did a special setup. And even in that, down, like no one's watching, they're not trying to impress anybody, but there's just so much care, so much like of an attitude of fighting for the people that are coming through the doors. And I love that, right? That was something that I wanted to make a part of my life. And it began to bring this kind of jealousy for me because this is in Hoboken and I wanted to continue that story in Jersey City, right? I was born in Christ Hospital. My wife was born in the Philippines, but had only lived here in Jersey City. And so we're thinking, man, how can we continue this story, this dream. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I was over here during one of the Hoboken Grace services, and I tracked down Pastor Chris in between the services. You know how he kind of goes and he sneaks off somewhere? I like stopped him before he sneaked off, and I said, "Hey, Pastor Chris, do you? I know you're Hoboken Grace, right? But do you care about Jersey City?" And in that stage of the church, they were already looking to launch a team in Jersey City, and he said, "Yes, we do, and we're trying to do work there now." And so it just seemed like the timing was coming together of my story kind of lining up with the story that was being written here. And I just wanted to do all that I can to be a part of that, right? And now, a year and a half later, one kid later, and I have another one on the way. It's bananas to think about. But it's just been an amazing year just trying to bring heaven, bring a glimpse of heaven into our community. Right? Because we live in the west side of Jersey City, which is like Lincoln Park, near St. Peter's University, McGinley Square area. I don't know if that's like the other side. It's like a mile and a half away from the waterfront. And we are there because we wanted to just build into the families, right? We dream of seeing families connecting and growing and serving together and bring glimpses of heaven in our own homes, but as families bring glimpses of heaven into our community, right? And I can't think of a more worthy cause than that, because it's a reality that we want to make that a reality, because we all know that when we look outside, things are not the way they're supposed to be, right? Heaven's not here. Like, there's a lot of things that are broken. There's a lot of things that are not the way that it should be. And we want to do all that we can to be a part of that solution, right? Because we don't even have to look outside. We can look in ourselves. We don't have to look very far. I know in my own heart there's things that are not the way it's supposed to be. I know that when my son's diaper is dirty, I try to avoid it so that my wife can do it. Not all the time. But I mean, there's just like, yo, that's messed up of me, right? I should probably do it, right? There's just something inside of us that's broken. It's just, you know, our dreams that we have for ourselves and our career, our relationships, and things just don't pan out the way that we thought. You know, we end up in this place where, like, if, you know, you come to a place like this because you want to make things right. You want things to be made right. And as you pray, you think, God, look at all the things that are going on in my life. Look at these things that are happening in my home, in my family, at my job. And look at the things that are happening in our community. Things aren't right. Someone should come in and fix this. God, would you come? Look at these problems. Look at these things that are broken inside us and outside of us. And please, make it right. This really became a conversation for me. As I was going through this journey over and over again, I would have this prayer time with God, just looking at these things that are just, that's not supposed to be like that, you know? A family shouldn't be experiencing this type of loss. Things that should be normal, like providing for your kids, should be natural and easy. People should not have to experience so much heartache. God, look at all these things that are going on, please. There's so much brokenness. Can you please make it right? You see, in my conversations with that, trying to find the way to make these things right, in that prayer time, in those conversations with God, he made real clear to me that he knows exactly what's going on. He knows about the brokenness that you see and hear and feel. He knows. That's one of the beauties about who he is. Even before you say it, even before you take that silence time and say it to him that I am hurting, or you just list out the stuff, he already knows. And he was reminding me, Paul, I see what you see. I hear what you're hearing. I feel even more than what you're feeling. You have no idea. And not only am I doing something, I've already done something about it. Because in our world, all of us, every single person, we're all looking for some type of rescue. All people, we need a rescue. We need someone to come in and help make things right. A lot of the times we try to be that own hero, or we rely on someone else to be that hero. But at the end of the day, we are looking for some sort of rescue. And here in my conversations with God, he made it super clear. He said, I am the rescue. The hero is here. Not only am I doing something, but I've already done it. Look at this passage in John chapter 1. And just a little background, John chapter 1 was written by one of Jesus' closest friends here, right? And he's older in his age, and he wants to make it very clear who Jesus is, right? And so in John chapter 1, it's one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. He's describing Jesus in different type of ways. And in John chapter 1, verse 10, it says this. It's talking about Jesus. He said, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Think about that. Coming to a place that you formed, you weren't recognized. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So here's a story of Jesus. Here's a story of the hero that understands the pain and the brokenness better than any of us can. And he knew that the real problem, the heart, the foundation of the problem that is going on is because we have been separated from our eternal dad. And he's like, these people are lost. They're trying to be their own heroes. They're trying to do their own thing by themselves when the rescue has already happened. And so he willingly came to a place he wasn't appreciated. He wasn't recognized. And not only that, but he was rejected, and he gave his life so that all who believed him and accepted him, he would give them the right to become children of God. He's the rescuer. That's what this is all about. Right? When we come to a place like this, and I don't know if this is you, but sometimes in our story, we are going through a hard time, and all we want God to do is just fix that thing. Just fix this. Just give me this, and I can move on living my life. Just give me this. Like, don't worry about other things. Just give me this one thing. And let's move on. I just need like a small hero, right? I don't need like anything crazy. I just need you to fix this problem or give me this. But God doesn't, that's not what he's about, man. He knows the real issue. And he knows that we won't be able to move forward unless you come home to where you belong in the family with him. He's the rescuer. Without him, we'd have no chance to find our way back to our Creator and to live out the purpose we were made for. He is the one that makes us whole. And it all starts when we take that right to become children of God. And this is the good news, man. This is why we exist. This is what we're about. And sometimes we think that's the end of the story. So here, that's it. Like, we would close and move on. But that's actually not the end of the story. When we come back to become his children and his family, do you know that God has some stuff for us to do now? See, God is on a mission. He's got a plan, and he's on a mission in this world to reach out to all those who are hurting and everybody to come back home into the family with him. And so he's got this stuff to do. And you know what? He wants to invite you and me to be a part of it. You see, we see this playing out all over the scriptures, but I want to share one of my favorite passages, one of the most important passages in my life, in Acts chapter 8. And I want to just let you know a little bit about this, because we see God on mission evident in this story. And so there's two main characters, and there's the first character, his name is Philip. Right, so Philip is one of the leaders of the church. This is when the church just began, right? They're just starting to take ground. Jesus, Easter had already happened, and Jesus had left the power and everything with the church to do work. And so here's Philip, one of those leaders, and he's experiencing amazing success and like favor of God where he's serving. He's experiencing these amazing things, success, people being made whole and healing and all these incredible things. And so he's in this city where all that is happening. And then God looks at him. He's like, hey, Philip, it's time to go. If that were me, I don't know about you, but if that were me, like if I was in Philip's shoes, I mean, God, I found my spot. I found my niche. This is where I'm going to be. You know, things are going well. I'm not trying to go anywhere else. But God was calling him to something new. So that's the first guy. The other person in this story is only known as an Ethiopian official. He's someone that is in government in Ethiopia, and he's got money. Right, he's got power. There's people that work for him. He's responsible for a lot. He works for He works very directly with their nation's leader. And so you would think he's got everything he needs, right? But he's in this place where he's searching. It's not enough. He's still searching. So he's trying to find who this God is and what his role in life is. And he's trying to put it all together. So he'd heard that in Jerusalem at that time, there's this temple and that's where God lives or whatnot. And so he's on his way there to get as close as possible. And he's basically taking steps he knows to take to try to figure this out, right? He's on the way to the temple and he's on his way back and in the carriage where he's at, he's just reading through the scriptures and he's, you know, just scrolling through them. He doesn't understand it, but he's trying to figure it out. If only someone had a plan to reach that guy and let him know what's going on. If only someone could orchestrate things to let him know what the truth about God is. Let's look at what happens. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. As for Philip, right, the guy with success happening all over the place. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And Philip ran over. Let me just pause there for a second. Right, so here's Philip, right? He's experiencing success and a favor, and everything's going well. And God tells him, all right, Philip, leave everything and go to this road. Not just a road. Go to this desert road. You're welcome. Dry, heat, go there. Can you imagine? Like, no, God, I need a little bit more clarity to go. I'm not gonna leave all this behind. But you know what? Phil decided he's going to go. It says that he started out. And if it were me, I'm thinking, and Philip, if I was in his shoes, I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm going to take this step. Fine, I'll go. It's become clear. I have to go to this desert road. But there better be something there. There better be some sort of clarity to make it clear why this is worth it. Because I'm leaving a lot. Right. So he gets to the desert road. He's looking around, hoping that something is going to become clear. And what is... And the Holy Spirit say. The Holy Spirit just says, all right, you see that carriage? That's you, buddy. You got to go talk to that guy. Just run up next to it. That's it. That's the whole plan. Look at what happens. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. He happens to be reading through a passage specifically about Jesus. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It's an incredible story. And so here's this Ethiopian official. He's on his way. He's trying to find out something about the truth of life, trying to figure out how God fits into who he is and what his purpose is, and he's just studying on his own, and this random guy runs up next to his carriage. The Ethiopian didn't know there was a plan. Philip didn't know there was a plan, but there was a plan. It seemed like God was very clearly orchestrating all this together because he had a plan. In his incredible pursuit for people, he knows exactly what he's doing. You know what's amazing about this? See, this story could have been different. I mean, if there's a man, there's this man in the carriage that was like wondering about God, God, I guess, could have just showed up in the carriage in some spectacular way or whispered into the Ethiopian's ear of who he was or whatnot, but he didn't. He sent Philip to go to the desert road. He didn't do it on his own. You know why? Because in God's incredible, passionate pursuit for people, his master plan, his plan to reach this world and bring them back into the family is to use you. I'm pointing at you and you're probably like, no, you mean, you're talking about this person, right? Because, no, you. That's crazy. That's the master plan. You are God's plan A to reach the world. You know what's bananas about that? There is no plan B. That's it. In his great wisdom. Like if we got the wisest people in the world, the most visionary, the most organized people to get together and come up with a master plan, this would probably not be that plan. But God, the creator of the universe, the one that is gracious enough to step into moments like this and to sit with us and talk with you, his plan, his master plan, is to use you. And you see this all throughout the scriptures, right? This is not the first time that this has happened. Even in the Old Testament, the story is where you hear, so Noah's going to need an ark. God could have, in his miraculous power, made an ark, snapped it, boom, I'm God, look at that ark. Nope. Here, Noah, here's the blueprints. You got it, brother. You better get started. Look crazy for a while in front of your family and build that ark. Or Moses. Moses came to God and he was saying, look at my people, they're hurting, there's pain everywhere. Like, God, you hear this, right? Do something. And God says, yeah, Moses, I hear you, I feel that, I'm going to do something. And Moses said, yes. And God said, yes, you're going to go. You're the plan. Abraham, same thing, it's time to go. You're leave everything you know. I'm going to take you to a land that I will tell you about. Just go. Even after the church started, Peter, the one that was the evident failure in many ways in the New Testament when it came to conversations and faith in Jesus, he said, I'm going to use you. Paul, the guy I'm named after, he was actually a murderer who hated Christians, turned his life around and said, okay, you go. I'm using you. Why? Were these the most brilliant people on earth? Is that why this is the master plan? No. God's plan A, his master plan, is that you would be the one he uses. Not someone else, not the person next to you, not the person behind you, but you. You see, when God sees the brokenness and he feels the pain of this world, he wants to fix that, and that starts by bringing you back into the family, right? You put your faith that Jesus has made that way open and you can come back. But when you come back, when we come back together, when we join something bigger, we join that family, not only are we joining that family to enjoy it for the rest of eternity, but we can join that as a part of God's mission now to do the same story in the rest of the people in this world. See, we don't always know the plan. We might be just like Philip, where it's just, here's this next step. Go to the desert road. Boom. Just go. And Philip went. Then go up to that carriage. And Philip went. The more you take these steps, the more that you jump onto this journey. I grew up in church, right? So I thought that this Christian life was like you go to church, then you go home and you live your life. But that is not it. I used to think it was boring and all this stuff, but no. I misunderstood it. And so many people misunderstand it completely. Because when you come back to the family with God, not only are you in the family, but now there's so much that he wants you to experience and be a part of. Right? I know Hoboken Grace has a team coming back from South Korea. Like they're going not only here in Hoboken, Jersey City, and they're going across the world trying to make things right as a part of God's master plan. That's what you and I can be a part of. You see, the way Philip heard the message of God to go, and he went and leave everything behind, and the more that he realized that when God's calling him out, man, God's calling you out. There's like, everything's on the table. You got to go all in. There's no hiding, really. That's the same story that my wife and I have felt in different ways. So I want to share a little bit of my story as you think about your own. Right? I remember when I chased Pastor Chris down in between the services, and it became a really instrumental time for us to really process what we wanted to do. And so we're kind of just learning and seeing what God was doing in small ways. We moved here. We got to a place where some opportunities opened up, and my wife and I had to make a decision about whether or not I was going to keep my job, or really pursue this dream of starting a church in Jersey City. And God made it super clear. I remember we went on a vacation, we went on a trip, and the whole time it was real, emotional, raw, scary conversations of really jumping off the deep end, like, let's go. Because I remember I was at a place where I had just paid off my student loans. Thank God, they're all gone. I brought 100% of the debt to my family. We paid them off, and it was like, yes, can throw some money in the bank, please. He's like, no, let's go. That's not your story right now. Quit your job. Let's pursue this. Take this direction. I was like, okay, desert road. Thanks. And so we went, right? So we then we moved, right? We began to feel a burden more and more for the west side of Jersey City because we were living in the downtown area. We were living near Hamilton Park, right, with Milk Sugar Love and Ninth and Cole's and these cool restaurants. And we can envision, you know, pushing a stroller around. We didn't have our son yet, but we can just envision raising a family there. My wife's dream house is a brownstone. So I was like, yes, we're in the right spot. And then God made it clear we got to move. It's like, what? Okay, so we started to kind of figure that out. We moved to the apartment where we're in now, and, you know, we love it. But I remember there was just, like, people were warning us all over the place. You know, you move to the west side, you got to be careful. It's not as safe as downtown. There's all these things. We're like, we know. We're fine. It's a good neighborhood. But there was just, like, a little warning shot for us, literally, when we came back. Because the day we moved into our apartment, that night, there was a shooting one block over. It was like, okay, this is where you want us to be. So, okay, so we moved. But then that story continued. We started to gather people, right? We just began to really think about what this is going to look like to start up a new church, to bring heaven here, to pursue this dream of bringing families together and being glimpses of heaven in our community. And then I don't remember the message, but my wife used these magnet Scrabble pieces on our fridge, and basically it said, "We're pregnant." It's like, okay. So, okay, now we're literally going to raise a family in this. And then it was when our son was born, my wife had been working in Brooklyn and, you know, was commuting in, and it just became this another call. Okay, Hazel, now it's time for you to leave your job behind, right? And there's a lot of factors that go into these decisions. It wasn't just like one clear conversation like that, but God made it clear. Now, because I'm sure some of you work for a startup company. Imagine your family relying on a startup church in the west side of Jersey City. It was not an easy decision. Desert road, go, just go. But we knew everything's on the table. And so we went. You know, it's been a wild year. Things have not gone the way that we always expected, pursuing Crossroad Community Church, right? But last Sunday was one of the most beautiful Sundays that we've had. Because last Sunday we had our first baptism service. And it was really, really beautiful to be able to hear the story of those who got baptized, right? It was a couple that they've opened their hearts and their life to me, and they've been able to see God work in different ways. And they were bold enough to be willing to share their story, right? They wrote it down, and they had their daughters read it for our church. And it was just amazing to hear and for them to be so confident in God to share how they had been rescued, right? And how God was continuing to rescue them. And so when I think about the desert road calls and the all-in calls and everything being on the table, when I think about all those things and how hard it can be sometimes, man, is it worth it when we're doing what we're meant to do? Man, is it worth it when people can be made whole and families can come together and become a glimpse of heaven? And not only that, but He lets me be a part of that story. Are you kidding me? 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 Really? That's the story that He has for you. That same call that Philip heard. That same call that my family heard. To go, just go. Like, trust me, you're in the family. Then let's chase something bigger. Let's chase this mission of God in this world. You are plan A. That message is the same message He has for you today. It's time to go. All on the table. And this is my story, right? These are the steps that I had to take, but I wonder what it is for you. Your step might be as simple as actually filling out the connection card and be like, fine, here's my email. Like, let's see where this goes. Or stopping by the connection point and just starting a conversation with people that you usually walk past, right? And just take that step. Or it could be as simple as praying to him, talking to him, you know, not having to wait for a silence portion on a Sunday, but just laying out all the things for him. That's literally how I say it when I talk to God and when I complain about things to my wife. Here's all the things that are happening. And God can take our words in whatever way. We don't have to talk a certain way. Just here, God, here's all the things. Here are the things that I'm struggling with. Here's the things that are weighing me down. Here's the things that I see slowing down other people in my life. Here's the pain here, God, here. Prayer. Maybe that's your next step. I don't know what it is, right? But I just, that same message that I heard, the same message that we see Philip living out here is the same message for you, that you are plan A. You are the master plan to reach the world. And the dream that would come out as we live the plan A life together, what would it look like if Jesus had his way here in our lives now? What would it look like if Jesus had his way in your life, at your workplace, in your home, on your block, in your community, in your family? What would it look like if he had his way as you live that plan A life? See, one of my favorite things about last Sunday in that baptism service was, yes, like, it was beautiful to have the day together, the moment to celebrate the new life that he had, that's being demonstrated in their lives, right? But after the service, talking to the husband, the father that got baptized, and just talking to him about, you know what, like, this is beautiful, but the excitement wasn't just on what just happened, but the excitement was, let's do work together now. Like, we are plan A, let's move. We have burdens for what's going on in the families of Jersey City and our community, and we have these dreams we want to put together. That's what this life is like. So that together, not only can we be a part of God's family, that not only does he feel the brokenness and he wants to mend it and heal it by inviting you and giving you the right to become his child, but now as his children, we can be plan A together. And what can happen as you take that step? Will you pray with me? God, I'm so grateful for this time together. I'm thankful for the way that you pursue us. And you pursue people in this world, that the way that you do things is not the way that we'd always expect or understand, but here we are. And you desire for us, you are inviting us to be a part of what you are doing. And your master plan, not only to reach the people in Jersey City and Hoboken, but in this world, your master plan, your plan A is us. Not the person next to us, not the person behind us, God, but me. Help us feel that. And God, in the same way that you whispered over to Philip to go to the desert road, tell us what your call is for us. What is this next step you want for us? Maybe it's as simple as having a conversation with somebody or praying or asking what it means to join a team, whatever it might be. Help us to hear you and to take that step so that we can live this plan A life with everything on the table. Because it is so worth it to live our life with the purpose that you've made us for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.